Brothers, let's open our Bibles in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua is in the Old Testament. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Joshua, chapter 24. In our Pew Bibles, it's page 198. Joshua 24, from verse 14 to verse 16. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Let's close our eyes and just plead with the Lord for mercy. Oh Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, I pray, oh Lord, for wisdom. I pray for mercy. I pray, oh Lord, that you may help us to hear what you want us to hear from this text we are faced with this morning. It's not an easy task, oh Lord, to preach your word, oh Lord, because your word is a means of salvation that you have established. Your word, O Lord, is powerful, is able to save. When we pray, O Lord, that you may be merciful to us as a church, as we look into this task, and that you may be merciful to me as a preacher, O Lord, that I may say what you want me to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brothers, here in chapter 24 of Joshua, we see Joshua reminding the people of Israel of how God has redeemed them. We see Joshua reminding them of the goodness of God towards them. If you read verse 2 and verse 3, Joshua reminds the people of how God called Abraham, the forefather, and how before God called Abraham, Abraham was serving idols along with his father, but God called him, because God was being merciful to him. And we see Joshua reminding them of the goodness of God towards them, of how these people were sent into captivity in Egypt, that they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But God sent Moses and Aaron to Egypt to rescue them from this slavery. So Joshua is reminding these people that it was God who redeemed you from the bondage of slavery. That it was God who heard your cry when you were in Egypt crying and the Egyptians were mistreating you. It was God who was merciful. It was God who sent Moses to go and get you out of Egypt. Now we see that Joshua is reminding them of how God used Moses, how God used miraculous signs in the presence of the people of Israel, in the presence of the Egyptians, to get these people out of the land of Egypt. Now, Joshua is saying these things to these people of Israel at a time when they have reached the land of promise, at a time when they are living at rest, at a time when they do not have enemies. Joshua is reminding them that, remember the Lord, he is the reason that you guys find yourself in this land of Canaan. That remember the Lord, that he is the reason that you guys were able to defeat your enemies. Because the people of Israel had defeated all their enemies and they were now living at rest in the land that the Lord had promised them. Now, even though these enemies that they defeated, God was gracious to them so that they may defeat them, but they were still living among them. And these enemies of Israel were wicked people, were people who were doing things that were evil in the eyes of the Lord. They were creating idols, they were creating gods with their own human hands. After they've created these idols with their own human hands, they will go and worship these idols as though these idols were God. This is why Joshua says the things that he's saying in verse 14 and verse 15. Joshua is warning these people of Israel that they should not be like their neighbors, these Amorites that they have taken their land. They should not be like them. Instead, they should remember the goodness of God towards them and therefore to fear and serve the Lord. Now, these words we read today, they are the last words that Joshua said to the people of Israel just before his death. Of all the things he could have said to these people, he chose to tell them to fear the Lord and to serve him faithfully. But if you go back, you will realize that this same Joshua was there when Moses, the servant of the Lord, was saying his last words to the people of Israel. Just as Joshua had assembled these people of Israel, had assembled their elders and their judges, Moses had done the same thing. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, as Moses was told by God that you will not enter this land of Canaan, he gathered the whole people of Israel and he started to speak with them, started to encourage them not to forsake the Lord, to encourage them to remember the goodness of the Lord towards them. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, Moses says, "Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations." He says, "Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this son covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, 'I shall be saved, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart.'" And if you go to chapter 30, just the next page, chapter 30 from verse 19 to verse 20, Moses said to these people of Israel, which is the same message that we see Joshua giving to these people of Israel. In verse 19 to 20, Moses said, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." These are the same words that we see in the book of Joshua. Moses said, "Choose life." Joshua says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." But he's telling them to choose to serve the Lord. Joshua knew that the people's hearts were inclined to go back to these idols, to go and serve these idols, to depart from the ways of the Lord, to forsake the Lord, and to now go and serve these idols. He remembers the words of Moses. When God was speaking to Moses, God had told Moses in chapter 31, verse 16 of Deuteronomy, that these people will forsake the Lord. They will go now and go and worship these idols. Now, when Joshua is saying these things, he have these words in his heart that these people are living amongst wicked neighbors. They are living among these Amorites who serve these idols, these gods they have made with their own eyes. And Joshua remembers how these forefathers of the Israelites, how when they were in the wilderness, they made for themselves a golden calf to serve it. So they created this idol with gold and silver, and then they declared this idol to be a god, and they served it. So when Joshua says to the people that they need to choose this day whom they will serve, and that they need to fear God and serve Him faithfully, he knows that these people's hearts are inclined to serving other gods, and that they will depart from the ways of the God of Israel. So Joshua knew their hearts. Now he pleads with them to choose to serve the Lord and to reject the gods of their neighbors who are not God at all, but just creations of their own human hands. Now, even though these people were not actively serving other gods, Joshua warns them regardless that they should not even think of serving these other gods, because he knew the dangers of rejecting the one true God. So there are three things, brothers and sisters, that Joshua is saying here that are very important, that we need to look at it. First thing he says is that they need to choose this day whom you will serve. He says, choose this day whom you will serve. That's the first important thing that Joshua is saying. The second thing he's saying is that fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and thankfulness. The third thing he's saying is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let's look at this point number one. To choose this day whom you will serve. We read in verse 15, he says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is not making God to be equal or to be in the same level as these idols of the Amorites. He's not making God to be the same or to be equal with this golden calf that the forefathers of Israel had made in the wilderness. But rather, he's showing these people of Israel the foolishness of rejecting the living God for idols which are made with human hands. Joshua says, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, he's mocking the idea that it is possible for anybody who is not evil to choose to serve idols instead of serving the living God. He's trying to show them that there is no competition between God and these idols. So he's trying to show them that only people who are evil in their hearts will choose to serve idols instead of God. So when Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve, he's trying to tell them to come to their senses. He's trying to tell them to stop their foolishness and to realize that only God is worthy of our worship. He's telling them not to be tempted to serve these gods of the Amorites or to even consider to worshiping them. He's encouraging them to learn from their fathers who died in the wilderness because they had made for themselves a golden calf, and because of that they aroused God's anger against them And God saw that they will not see the promised land. And for 40 years, they went round and round the desert because God was punishing them for saving other gods. So Joshua is saying to them, don't be fools like your fathers. Don't be fools like these Amorites. Don't make for yourself this golden calf. Don't go and worship these idols of the Amorites instead of worshiping the Lord. Because remember that your forefathers did not enter into God's rest because they chose to serve this idol. So Joshua is saying to them that it is evil not to serve the Lord. It is evil not to serve the Lord. A failure to choose to serve the Lord is evil. Choosing to serve idols instead of serving the Lord is evil. Choosing to put the world and its pleasures ahead of God is evil. Living your life without any regard for God is evil. So Joshua is telling them that don't be foolish. Don't do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And he's telling them that choosing the world, choosing these idols ahead of God comes with judgment. Now if you look at what Moses had said to the people in Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 to 20, he said, choose life that you and your offspring may live. He said, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And what is this life that Moses was telling them to choose? He's saying, the Lord your God is your life and your length of days. So Moses is telling them, if you want life, if you want to live, then you should choose God. If you want eternal life, then you must choose this God. So Moses was telling them the same thing, that you need to choose to serve the Lord, because if you choose to serve the Lord, you will live, because God himself is the life and the length of days. And Joshua comes and says, choose to serve the Lord. He tells them in a way that he's sort of testing them, saying, choose this day whom you will serve. But then before he tells them to choose whom they will serve, he goes and reminds them of the goodness of God, of all the things that God had done for them. Then now he's saying, well, this is what God has done for you. Now choose. There's only one choice you can make, because only God has shown goodness to them. So it is logical then that the failure to choose God will result in a loss of life. If God is your life and your length of days, if you do not choose him, then you will not have life and the length of days. You will not have eternal life. That's what Moses was telling them. That's what Joshua is telling them. That there is no choice to make. You have to choose God, because God is your life. You choose these idols, you are dead. You are dead in your sins. You are under God's judgment. This is why Joshua says, if it is evil in your eyes, if it is stupid in your eyes to serve the Lord, because that is the only way you can choose not to serve the Lord. Because if you think it is evil, if you think it is foolish, but if you are not foolish, if you are not evil, you will choose to serve the living God. He's saying only an evil person will reject eternal life found in God and choose judgment that comes with saving these idols. Only an evil person will choose these pleasures of life, will choose this world, will choose not to come into the house of God and to enjoy sitting around and doing nothing instead of choosing to serve the Lord. Now, second thing we see is that Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. We see that in verse 14. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now Joshua says, you must fear the Lord your God. What does it mean to fear the Lord? When Joshua says, fear the Lord, what does he mean? Firstly, he means that you must have a right understanding of God, of who God is. You must know that God is sovereign. You must know that God is greater than all beings. He's greater than everything. He's greater than every idol that you can make for yourself. God is greater than even the devil. He's the one who had created him. You must know that God is the creator of all things, that God can do all things that he desires to do, that there is no one who can challenge God. If God is determined to do something, no one can stop him to do it. You must know that there is none who can compare to God. There's no one who's God's competitor. God is sovereign. Now, having known these things about God, having known that God is sovereign, you will not want to offend him by worshipping idols as though they are equal to God. If you know that God is sovereign, then why would you worship idols? Why would you have these gods that you love more than the living God? You will not want to have that, because you know that he is sovereign. So the fear of the Lord is knowing that God is sovereign, and based on that knowledge that God is sovereign, you do not want to be on his bedside. You want to please him. You want to do everything that is pleasing in his sight. You want to give him all the glory and all the honor that he deserves, because you have a right understanding of him. It is impossible for you to fear the Lord when you do not know who he is. That's why it is important to have good theology. It's important to be in a church that preaches the word of God faithfully, because then you will have the right understanding of God. Then you will be able to fear the Lord. Having known who the Lord is, he will make sure that you do not worship idols, that you do not arouse him to anger like the forefathers of Israel had done. So that Joshua is saying, he's saying, remember all his goodness. He had murdered these Egyptians in the sea who were chasing you, wanting to kill you. He is able to do that. By his mighty hand, you were able to leave Egypt. He is that mighty. Now fear him. If he's that mighty, why would you then go and serve these idols? It doesn't make sense. Now you need to fear this Lord. So why would there be things that you love more than God when you fear him? It will not be possible. Why would you choose sin every time instead of choosing to serve the Lord? If you fear him, that will not be a problem. You will love him with all your heart, because you know who he is. You will not choose to be at home on a Sunday because you want to relax instead of coming to his house. because you know that he is your life and your length of days, that the very breath that you breathe is from him. Now you will come to his house with gladness, with thanksgiving. You will come to his house because you know he's the reason why I'm breathing. So I cannot go and stand at home and just relax when it's time to come to his house, because you fear him. So to fear God is to know who he is, and based on that knowledge, to not want to offend him, lest you lose his favor. That's why Joshua reminds these people who God is first. That's what we read in verse 1 to verse 13. Joshua is reminding them, giving them this knowledge of God. And then he encouraged them not to sin against this God, not to choose to serve these idols of the Amorites, or this idol that their father had made in the wilderness. And then Joshua says, you must serve God in sincerity and faithfulness. Joshua is saying that they must make the worship of God to be the desire of their heart. They must not be superficial in the service of the Lord, not to do things in the house of the Lord so that people can see you, not to be superficial, but to do it out of a pure heart. And that's what we try to remind ourselves every time when it's time to give, that you give with a joyful heart. You don't give because you want to show that you have, but you give because your heart is connected to God. So he said that your heart must long to be one with God. They must desire to be pleasing to God. They must desire to know God more and more, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They must desire to be in his house day after day and rejoice in him. That's what David says in Psalm 27. He says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In Psalm 27 verse 4, that's where I was just reading. So he said that you must gaze in this beauty of the Lord. You must find the Lord to be beautiful more than anything. You must find it to be more desirable than anything. So a sincere and faithful service to the Lord comes from a heart that takes great pleasure in the beauty of our Lord God. So he said that your heart must be changed. You cannot just come and bring offerings to the Lord, but without your heart being in those offerings, just following some law that you need to bring offerings. He says no. When you bring these offerings to the Lord, your heart must be inclined to the Lord. Your heart must be pleasing to the Lord. And then, lastly, the third thing we see from Joshua, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua reminds them of the goodness of the Lord. And then he tells them that they need to choose to serve the Lord. But then he tells them, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is saying to them that even if they were to ignore his advice and follow and go and worship these idols, but he will not join them in the sin. Joshua is saying, I am prepared to serve the Lord even if it means I have to be the only one amongst my people who serves the Lord. I am prepared to serve the Lord even if all of you reject the Lord, because I know the goodness of the Lord. He says, I will not do that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord and go and serve these idols and reject the Lord who took me out of Egypt, who has brought me to this land of Canaan, who has been faithful in my life every time. If I had to choose to stand alone with God, I will stand alone with God. So Joshua was willing to stand as one man with the Lord instead of being in a crowd without God. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is making it clear that he will not join the people if they choose to rebel against God. If they choose that, no, they want to serve these gods of the Amorites, he will not join them. Instead, he will serve the Lord regardless of what may come with his choice of serving the Lord. Now, brethren, do you stand with God when your friends mock him? When your friends refuse to serve the Lord? When your friends refuse to choose to serve the Lord? Do you stand as one man alone and say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord? Do you stand with God when your friends chooses the pleasures of this world than to serve God? When they join themselves in their evil deeds, do you join them? Or do you say, no, I choose to serve the Lord? Are you prepared to stand with God even if it means losing your friends or family members? Joshua was prepared to lose his people. As the leader, he was prepared to lose his leadership position so that he can stand alone and serve the Lord instead of serving these idols and these gods of the Amorites. Are you willing to stand alone and lose your friends and lose your relatives so that you may serve the Lord? Joshua said, yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can choose whatever you choose, but I will choose to serve the Lord. Oh, brethren, do you participate in idol worship instead of serving the Lord because you are afraid what people will think of you? When people are talking badly against God, are you willing to stand up? Or are you afraid that, what would they say about me? Joshua was willing to stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, choosing to serve the Lord may come with persecution. It may mean that people will mock and call you all kinds of names. It may mean that you may find yourself lonely and alone in this world. But we need to stand like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come what may come, but we will serve the Lord. Now we see a very remarkable thing in verse 16. After Joshua had dared the people to choose to serve the Lord and had told them openly that even if you do not choose to serve the Lord, I will serve him. In verse 16, the people says, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So these people, having been reminded of the goodness of God, they say, there is no way for us to be so foolish, to be so evil, that we will reject the Lord and go and serve these gods of the Amorites. Instead, we will serve the Lord. Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. How important it is to be reminded of the goodness of God in our lives. You see, Joshua went and reminded them. Verse 1 to verse 13, he went and listed some of the things that the Lord had done for them, the goodness of the Lord, how he had helped them to defeat Jericho, how he had helped them to defeat the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites. And then it says, choose. There was no way people could choose to serve these idols. They said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and choose to serve these idols. So they remembered the goodness of the Lord towards them and the goodness of the Lord towards Abraham, the forefather, how God had promised him in the same place where they were meeting in Shechem. If you go back to a Genesis, Abraham was sitting in the same place in Shechem, and God said, look at this land, I will give it to you and your children. Now Joshua takes them to the same place that God had promised to Abraham, and he reminds them of the promise of God to Abraham, and now these children of Israel have inherited this promise of God. Why would they then reject God, having seen such great goodness of God? Even when Joshua tested their sincerity to serve the Lord, if you look at verse 18, Joshua is testing them whether they are really serious about serving the Lord. But they were unmoved and they were determined to serve the Lord. So we brothers, we are like these people of Israel. We had served other gods. We were lost in our sins. None of us were saved from birth. There are things we are very shameful to have done in our lives. But here we are. Apostle Paul reminds the people of Ephesians. Let's turn there in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Apostle Paul reminds them, it is a similar thing to what Joshua was doing here. Ephesians chapter 2 is on page 976 in our Pew Bibles. From verse 1 to verse 5, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. So what Paul is saying, you were dead in your sins, just as Israel was in slavery in Egypt, and they were unable to help themselves. We were the same way. Our slavery was sin. We could not help ourselves. Sin was second nature to us. We were dead in our trespasses. Just as Israel was caught up in Egypt, they could not revolt. They could not help themselves. We were like them. We had followed the course of this world. Just as the people of Israel worship these idols in Egypt. We were like them. We are worshipping the God of this world, the evil one. We were drinking sin as food, as drink, night and day. We lived in the passions of our flesh, enjoying the pleasures of this world. We were under God's judgment. Just as God had judged Israel in the wilderness, we were also under judgment of God. But Paul says, but God, being rich in mercy, showed his mercy towards us, just as he showed his mercy towards Israel and redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. So God redeemed us as well from our Egypt of sin. God redeemed us. We have seen his goodness. Is it possible now that we will choose to serve other gods? We should say, like these people of Israel, and say, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It is this God who made us alive together with Christ and has brought us into rest with him, has brought us into this salvation. So, brethren, should we now love the pleasures of this world more than we love God? Should we choose to be at home on Sunday than be in the house of the Lord? Should we choose to love TV, to love sports more than God? Having known of the goodness of our Lord towards us, should we now do those things? Should we now not have any fear for him and to engage in sin freely? We should say, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord. So let's remember the goodness of the Lord towards us. Let's remember how we were before the Lord saved us. How lost we were. Where we would have been had God not saved us. And let's be grateful to him. Let's serve him faithfully and in sincerity. Let's not drag our feet, but let's be joyful to come to the house of the Lord. Let's be joyful to tell people about him. Let's be joyful to be in his service, to serve him in whichever way we can serve him. Let's remember this goodness of the Lord. And let's serve him and fear him. And may the Lord bless us. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness. We thank you that you were rich in mercy towards us, that you have redeemed us, that you have saved us, that you have brought us into your house even this morning, that you have made us to be your children, that you have set us apart for yourself. O Lord, may you help us as we leave this place to remember your goodness. When people mock your name, when people invite us to go and enjoy the pleasures of sin, let us remember your goodness towards us. Based on your goodness, let us fear you. Let us serve you faithfully and with sincerity. Let us speak like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us be prepared, O Lord, to stand with you in our work. Let us be prepared, O Lord, to stand and say, I am a Christian. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I stand for him even this morning. Oh, may you help us, O Lord, to live for you. May you help us, O Lord, to give of our lives to the glory of your name. So be with us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen.